saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of bagged concrete and mortar mixes, great for any project. Whether you're pouring a walkway, a concrete slab, or setting a post, view our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. The Chiefs get the win in overtime, their third Super Bowl in 5 years. Joining us now to break it all down is TD. Teron Davenport is brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD, appreciate you for joining us. We initially kicked off the show today with the debating Kyle Shanahan's decision to receive in overtime. Do you think that was the right move, or do you think that Kyle Shanahan cost his team the Super Bowl by electing to receive and not defer in overtime?
No, I definitely don't think he cost his team the Super Bowl by electing to receive. I mean, after all, the defense got on the field and they gave up a touchdown. That wasn't Kyle Shanahan on the field doing that. So I won't fault him for that. I think the confidence that he showed was, hey, look, we're going to get the ball and we're going to score a touchdown, and then we'll put it on them to figure out what they want to do. I actually like that. I don't think he, you know, cost his team the game at all.
What about Brock Purdy? There's a big mixed bag on the perception of Brock Purdy. He's just elevated by the pieces around him. And, you know, some other side says, you know, look, his numbers are elite. His numbers are up there with some of the best in the NFL. What's your perception of Brock Purdy? And maybe how was that changed last night? How was that solidified last night? And maybe what's the message about quarterbacks around the rest of the league based off of your evaluation of Brock Purdy?
Yeah, one thing about numbers and statistics and all of that, I like them, but I don't use them to just outright prove a point, because you could skew numbers in a variety of different ways to prove a point that you're trying to establish. So, yeah, his numbers are great. You can't get around it. And the play, the thing that this year that I've really appreciated about Brock Purdy is what he does off schedule. Right before, it was always, okay, he keeps things on schedule. He makes sure that, you know, if this isn't there, he's going there and just going through the progressions, et cetera. But this year, I've noticed where he's getting out on the move. Like, you look at that early completion he had to juice check on the first drive, right? He rolled out, you know, the pocket got a little dirty. He moved out, and then he found him for a first down. I think that's the thing with Purdy that he's doing. I think this team can win with him, but it's just when you go against an otherworldly talent like Patrick Mahomes, unless you have a Lamar Jackson, a Josh Allen, a Joe Burrow, you don't really have a chance, just because now his defense is so good also in addition, and that gives that offense time to figure things out and score later in the game like they did in what you saw last night.
We'll talk with Teron Davenport discussing last night's game, Super Bowl, the Chiefs and the 49ers. What does this, because we've talked about Patrick Mahomes and what this does for his legacy. Obviously, Andy Reid, you know, whether it be a play caller or a head coach, I think he's one of the greatest. But when you're talking about Kyle Shanahan, I'm not going to put the debacle in Atlanta on him because he wasn't the head coach. I know he was the offensive coordinator, but not the head coach. But right. Where does this, what does this do for him in regards to, now this is the second time since he's been the head coach that he has had an opportunity to win a Super Bowl where he's been up by 10 points or more, and at each opportunity he's had, he's failed. So what does this do for him moving forward?
Yeah, that's a tough spot to be in, right? Mm-hmm. To be up like that, and especially the Atlanta one against the Patriots. But look, it's not a bad thing you can't hang your hat so far when you're losing to Tom Brady, when you're losing to Patrick Mahomes twice. Now, obviously no one wants to lose, but I'm not going to use that to say, okay, he's not a good coach or his legacy is tainted. He still had to get there, and collectively they've built a really, really good roster. And he's known as one of the best play callers in the league. And you look at his legacy as far as coaches who, you know, have worked with him. So I definitely still think that he's one of the top guys. Is he, you know, Bill Walsh-like genius level? Don Coryell? No, but you still have to respect him as one of the best minds offensively in the game right now.
Now, before Kittle's, I know Kittle's went out, I think it was with a shoulder injury, but he ended up coming back in the game. Do you think it was more so of Kansas City and what they did? Because if you look at it on the other side, San Fran did the same thing with Kelce in the first half. They pretty much shut him down. They bumped him around, made it difficult for him. Do you think it was more so that why they couldn't get Kittle's involved in the game the way they wanted to or should have?
Yeah, I think, you know, they got outstanding linebacker play, too, in their safeties. You know, Nick Bolton, 32, was all over the place, whether it was coverage or coming up, help against the run, or even, you know, getting pressure on the quarterback. So that helped them. And collectively, you know, you look, Deebo Samuel was pretty quiet in this game. Mm-hmm. I know he had the hamstring, but even before that, you didn't really see much from him. Trent McDuffie, you know, the corner out of Washington, I think a star was born last night. He's always been a really good corner, but the way that he played last night was outstanding, and he's someone that you have to start recognizing as a legit corner. And obviously, LeJarius Sneed, on the other side is a baller too. So I think just collectively, that defense and the pressure, Chris Jones, you know, he showed the value of interior guys, and then you see why these guys that get this pressure from the inside, you know, are getting these $90+ million deals. But then also look at how they moved him around. So it was a combination of all of that. It wasn't just like, hey, you know, Justin Reed on Kittle, and that's what made it happen. It was just collectively that defense was playing, and this was while the Chiefs' offense wasn't doing much for them.
Teron, if just throwing out this statement, how would you answer this? What do you think the Titans, if they're watching Callahan on down the line, you watch that Super Bowl, what's the number one thing you take out of it and learn and say, okay, this is where we need to go with all this?
I think you learn that, hey, when there are opportunities to put the game away, you 1,000% have to do it. And there were times when that Chiefs offense was struggling and the 49ers, they weren't able to come away with points, you know, after the defense had a stop. So I think you got to look at the desperation. You have to figure out ways to score points. And I ain't talking about field goals. You got to score touchdowns, you know, if you're going to beat that team. Because if you catch that offense on a down moment or down portion of the game, you got to capitalize.
As I was watching it, I really thought I was watching a really deep chess match that I certainly didn't understand on the level that the two coordinators were going. But you had two great defenses loaded with talent, two good coordinators, and you had these two great play callers. And, of course, you've got this new Titans brain trust that is a derivative of the Shanahan, right? So I'm thinking, you know, what as a Titan fan, can I get excited about – maybe getting on that level because I saw a lot going on there. Tony Romo at times, you know, he's got flaws like everybody else does. He takes criticism when you're up that high, but he does a pretty good job of pointing out what they're looking at, like that final touchdown. And I'm just thinking, man, are they taking this thing to another level, the Titans, with their ability to win that chess match?
Yeah, they're going to have to. And I tell you, it's nice for the Chiefs, right, to have a little trump card in the bag, right? For whatever reason, when they use that motion and they make the DBs have to, you know, figure out who's going where and doing what, it just has always worked. You saw it three times, right? Twice in the Super Bowl last year, once in this one, where it's just that motion, it confuses. So you have that. I think defensively, the Chiefs did a good job of disguising defenses and things too. Right. Again, with McDuffie, you know, there were times where they showed bracket coverage and he came off of it and it confused Purdy a bit and made him tuck the ball and have to, you know, reset. So I think you look at what the Titans are doing. Denard Wilson, I think, is going to be a really, really good defensive coordinator because I like the roots. Greg Williams, right? You look at him, you look at, you know, Todd Bowles, like these are guys that clearly have established they like to attack and dictate to offenses what they're going to be able, not going to be able to do, you know, and I like that. So I think you have that. Being able to retain Chris Harris is good for the DBs. Obviously, you know, you look at the veterans in Frank Bush and Steve Jackson. I think they've established a really good group. I'm not going to say really, really good, but I mean, I think they've established a solid group. It's still, we have to see how it works, but I like what they've done. It's just going to be, you need the players, right? And that's something that Rand Carthon and the crew, they're going to have to get that put in place.
TD, Teron Davenport is with us. TD, I know that Titans fans are feeling probably even more discouraged than they probably already were, that to get to the Super Bowl, not only do you have to go through Patrick Mahomes, but if it's not Patrick Mahomes, it's Joe Burrow, or it's Lamar Jackson, or it's Justin Herbert, or it's this gauntlet of quarterbacks in the AFC. But really, the class of those quarterbacks is Patrick Mahomes. What would maybe your message be to Titans fans?
Get in touch with Jesus. You're going to have to pray. Man, that dog Patrick Mahomes, and as long as he has Travis Kelce in there too, and you see Rashee Rice, you know, he's blossoming also. So yeah. It's just, man, it's a huge challenge and a group of talent that they have. So, yeah, it's going to be tough, man. You just got to hope that you can match some of that that talent. I don't obviously think you can match it at quarterback and tight end, but if you could be strong in other areas, you may have a chance.
Could the 49ers be the blueprint for teams that don't have that elite quarterback?
Yeah, that's a great point. They can be, because you see, I mean, they are like, they come together like Voltron. I mean, they have strength in all aspects of the game, especially when you look at having playmakers. They have a collection of play. Brandon Ayuk is quietly one of the best route runners and most efficient receivers in the league, but a lot of people don't even know how to pronounce the man's name, let alone describe how he plays. So I would say yes, and that group of defensive guys that they got. Because remember, Hufanga, he wasn't even playing. He's one of the best secondary players. You know what I mean? He wasn't even else, you know, because he had the ACL and MCL injury. So, yeah, I would say you have to form a bunch of group of talent to go against somebody as tough as Mahomes.
TD is with us. And kind of keeping that in mind, you know, what Will Levis is or can be, that's still unwritten. We still don't really know what the true ceiling of Will Levis can be. So could that potentially be the blueprint for the Tennessee Titans of putting pieces around the quarterback? And if so, now that today is the first day officially of the offseason, based off of what we've seen from the 49ers and how they've built that team, what should the Titans' priorities be this offseason?
Well, the priority is to be – you have to add game-changing players. And you look at this roster – there aren't a lot of them. Mm-hmm. I think you further develop Tajay Spears because he's underrated as a game changer. And you see when he touches the ball, rarely does the first person bring him down. It's electric, and he's capable of scoring from anywhere on the field. I hope Jarrett Stillman's listening, because I know he doesn't believe in Spears' playmaking ability. But you watch the game, you see it, you know. So I think you add those types of players, right? DeAndre Hopkins, you get that talent and pull that out of a guy like Treylon Burks, as long as he can stay healthy, right? You build around Jeffrey Simmons. You bring DeNico Autry back. You got Harold Landry there. You know, bring Azeez Al-Shaair back. You figure out what to do in the secondary. Those are all things they have to do. But long story short is you have to add guys that can make game-impacting plays. When it's time to do it, they're going to rise to the occasion. And that's what they've lacked as a group for the last couple of years.
All right, TD, this is one thing that I was kind of throwing around last night as I was watching the game. If the 49ers would have won, would Juwan Jennings have been MVP?
It's very possible. Or, I mean, Chris Conley, I don't know whatever he ate before the game, he better eat often, because the way he was playing on special teams, he you know, you could have had a special teamer be, you know, the first one since what, Desmond Howard back in the day?
Even Jake Moody, the kicker.
Yeah, you had two record-setting kicks last night, field goals. How about that? Jake Moody set the record with 55, and Harrison Butker said, hey, man, hold on a minute, and he set the record with 57. I mean, that game was just fun to watch, man. I have to say, it was fun to watch.
It was such a fun game to watch. Mm-hmm. Usher was also fun to watch. TD, what were your thoughts on the halftime show?
Listen, my girlfriend's going to be mad at me, but, man, Alicia Keys, Lord have mercy. That's all
she is unbelievable.
Period.
Man, that whole show was unbelievable, I think. just the way they put it all together. And, you know, it was just, it, to me, it was good from the standpoint of just pure entertainment, you know, by several different artists. And then it sort of all ending, you know, with Alicia Keys and whatnot. So she started off a little shaky, but then kind of picked it up.
I thought the roller skating was unbelievable.
I couldn't like that, do
that. That was really amazing.
Yeah.
Unexpected.
That was you back in the day, Willie?
No. I was the worst. I did go.
Exactly.
I'm going to tell you, I went to a couple birthday parties, and man, it was ugly for me. It was ugly. I was awful. I was a great floor hockey player, and then there was like, you got to a certain grade where I lived in New York, and you started going out. Let's go to roller hockey. I was like, nope. Win flag football, or let's go to basketball. Like, I ain't getting on those roller skates.
Oh, man.
Yeah, anything that involves wheels on your feet and anything that involves balance is always a little tricky. Dee, last one for me. I think right now where we are, Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. After Patrick Mahomes' third Super Bowl in just 5 years, where does that put him in the all-time list? And also keep in mind that his story's not over.
That's the crazy part. His story's not over.
He's 28?
He's not even. Yeah, that's what I mean. So there's a lot more to come. I have to put him, I mean, you could argue, right, because Montana was just so cool and calm under pressure and just surgical. You know what I mean? But then you got John Elway, and it's like, wow. He was able to run with the ball in addition to throwing it and doing everything that he did. But I don't know. I think I'll say this. Patrick Mahomes, without a doubt, is top five. Mm-hmm. But he, in my opinion, is the most talented quarterback to ever throw the ball, to ever like play the position. Because you look, he brings that
over Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, you know why? Because you go back to 2019, mm-hmm. right? That AFC Championship game and the way he had that run. Like, Aaron Rodgers doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then he also does what Aaron Rodgers does, as far as like being able to throw across his body, or in some cases behind his back. Like, whatever he does, like, he just, in my opinion, he's the most talented quarterback to ever play the position, man. Mm-hmm. Now, the best thrower, in my opinion, the best thrower. And don't argue with me. Argue with somebody else. But I don't think anybody ever threw that ball like Warren Moon. And you know the sound. Every time, you know what I mean? So I think Patrick Holmes is the most talented ever, though.
It's hard for me to disagree.
It's hard to argue with it.
I mean, it feels like recency bias.
Creativity, the arm angles. The off-schedule. The ability to throw the ball away when you're like, that's intercepted.
But
a wobbly one in the middle of the field, but it just seems to never get intercepted.
But these are all the things that we were saying about Aaron Rodgers.
But not like that. Not like nobody's ever thrown the ball like
Mahomes. A young Aaron Rodgers.
Not like
that. We were saying the same. Like, we've never seen anyone that – and that's why I asked the question was brought up. Like, you know, because we have seen – guys in their prime, and there's only been a handful, probably not even a handful, maybe two or three guys that are just their ability, what they can do with the football, whether it's Dan Marino, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes now.
Peyton Manning.
Not even Peyton Manning. I'm talking about just because Peyton was a statue. Mm-hmm. But Peyton,
right.
from a mental standpoint, I think Peyton was better than everybody. But from a physical mm-hmm. standpoint, Peyton could only do so much, even when he was younger. But when you look at those four quarterbacks that I named, it's like when they were playing, we were all saying, damn, we've never seen anything like this before. And then fast forward 10 years, it's like we've never seen anything. I think they all sort of do some of the same things, but I think we look at them. I would love to see Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers both playing at their prime, mm-hmm. how that would look.
Rodgers is close.
Rodgers only has one.
I know he only has one.
I'm just talking about the skill set.
Yeah, that's all I'm talking about, the skill set to throw the football.
Like throwing it left-handed. Like there's things that Mahomes does that I think mm-hmm. even one-ups Rodgers. And Rodgers was probably the next best.
Mm-hmm. Look at the one where he was running and stopped on the dime and just kind of like, shot a jumper with the ball.
Right.
to Kelsey for the touchdown. Like, mm-hmm. that's to have the awareness to do, it's stupid. It's not even fair, man. That's the way I look at it.
It's
like throwing the ball like he's turning a double play, you know, underhand almost.
Shortstop movements.
And with a purpose, you know, not hot dogging.
No look.
It's basketball. Like he's got a different realm that he goes into, I think. To go with the great play calling and all the things that Reed brings to the table, it's amazing to watch.
It's unfair. It's unfair. TD, appreciate you for stopping by. Tell us about ESPN Bet.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And last night, I bet ESPN Bet was on fire, so that was a good thing. But it's now live in Tennessee, and it's the official sports book of ESPN, the only place to find daily exclusive offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. If you haven't signed up, make sure you sign up today. If you're a new user, you get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. And you can find all of your markets, whether it's in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays that you could do, you know, the New Orleans Pelicans and the Nashville Predators. You can combine them. You could do teasers and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Of course, you must be 21 or older and in Tennessee. For gambling problems or support, call or text TN Redline at 800-889-9789. And as always, terms and conditions apply. Get the details on the app.
TD, appreciate you for stopping by. You are the very best, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Thank you. Appreciate talking to you guys. Hey, Willie.
Pitchers and catchers?
That's right.
There you go.
You knew where I was
going. On the same wavelength, my man.
Yes, sir. All right, now.
All right, TD, appreciate you.
LGM.
You Mets LGM. Fans over here.
Let's go Mets.
It is very funny how we are outnumbered on the program here.
That's right.
With Mets fans in
Nashville.
The only
place in the city where that happens.
Right, exactly.
All right. Yes. Right on cue. Meet the Mets. Oh, yes. On to baseball. Let's go.
Yeah, now that football is over, man. We finally get to focus on the New York Mets.
Gotta love it.
All right, coming up next. Probably the most viral moment from the game last night, and it didn't even happen on the field, it happened on the sidelines. Awfully controversial. I want to get D-Mace's thoughts on that. We'll get into that coming up next, and of course your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Caroline Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.